Dukes and Bell live from Hooters Mall of Georgia. We were just saying hello to some listeners who are very lovely. It is Monique and her lovely sister Madison Carl, who just rolled in. And they came all the way over from Marietta, so not exactly an easy hike this time of day, knowing the traffic on 85. But, again, a lot of our audience, at one time, Carl, we were told it was over 24% are women.
Yeah.
And we can't do without you making us the hottest show in town. Andy, Randy, the Steakhouse, of course, the Morning Shift. We've had some great ratings thanks to guys like Monique and her lovely sister, Madison.
Monique came in. She said, I'm one of your female listeners. And we were like, yes, we love you. So thank you guys for coming and hang out. All right. We really appreciate it. We were talking with them, and then literally, you're back.
So we literally said,
yeah, we ran over
sprint
here.
Back. Maybe it's time for more cardio.
Speaking of being back, Terry Fontenot back, as Mike said, for a fifth year. And it feels like it was just yesterday when he got the job. When Terry Fontenot came in, and for years we talked about the idea that, you know, the previous general manager, maybe it was time for a change, and they stayed the course. And look, Thomas Dimitroff's a friend of the show. He's been on with us. He did everything he possibly could. I think at the end, Mike, like most times, you get desperate and you make moves that don't work out. But Terry Fontenot sat down with the Morning Shift today, and one of the cool things is coming to camp, everybody on the hill, you see a lot of Falcon jerseys and a variety of them, different numbers, whether it's Bijan or Penix, you know, Jesse Bates. And the first thing they talked about with Terry Fontenot today was, how does it feel to have, you know, the players' jerseys being worn by fans all over the place?
It's such a blessing. It's really cool. And you just said it, with those types of guys, that when you're proud to see your kids and people wearing those jerseys, because it's not just about what they are on the field. But, I mean, who doesn't want their son to grow up to be like Bijan Robinson?
Right.
Or Chris Lindstrom or Jalen Walker. I mean, Jesse Bates. Like, these guys are unbelievable. And so whenever you have – we see what they are on the field. We know the vision we have for this team and how they're all going to connect to it. And we're excited about that part of it. But they're unbelievable human beings, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, and the jerseys are the cool part, you know, getting to see that kind of stuff. But what kind of challenges do you face that maybe the average fan wouldn't realize about managing a roster year-round?
Yeah, well, it's tough because, Allie, at the end of the day, we're at 90 right now. Actually, we're at 91. And every player that's here is here for a purpose, whether it was a coach or a scout, or everybody's here for a reason. There's nobody that just randomly shows up here. And we got to cut this thing down to initially 53, and then we can build back up with the practice squad and the international player to 70. But that's hard. That's really challenging, because the other thing we're doing is we're also looking outside the building at the other 31. We constantly work out players. We had DJ Chark in here, and so there's good players that are available on the street. There's good players on other rosters that, as we anticipate, could get cut or we could possibly trade for. So we got to get the right 53, the right 70 to go through the season with, at least to start the season on the right way. And so that's hard, because we're going to have some tough conversations here at some point.
They're joined by the GM of the Atlanta Falcons, Terry Fontenot, here on the Morning Shift live from Flowery Branch, training camp day 4, I believe. That's funny that you said exactly what you just said, because we were talking earlier about what we wanted to talk to you about. And I was like, well, I want to ask him, because, like, DJ Chark is signed on what? Their off day. What's it like day-to-day for you, training camp? Because we kind of think that when you get to training camp, you've done most of your job. You gave Raheem 91 players. All right, you go do what you got to do. But what's it like? Because you're having to monitor. You're having to work out these guys. So, like, the day-to-day operation of training camp for Terry Fontenot was like what?
Yeah, so like, for example, yesterday we met with the pro staff going through the preseason scouting process and everything that entails, and because we have to be experts on the other 31 teams. And before you know it, these games are going to start. So, and there's going to be a massive cut. So how are we evaluating these players? How are we anticipating the guys that are going to be available via trade? So we're going through, talking through that process. Sitting down with the coaches yesterday as well and going through the roster. Again, we talked about it. We have tough decisions to make on all these guys, and there's so many factors. So we're talking to the coaches about how the guys are picking things up. We're talking to the player performance group, the athletic trainers, and it's a holistic approach in terms of how we're evaluating things, because, like we said, it's not just about the player and what's happening on the field. It's about everything in the total picture. So we're meeting, and we have to be experts on our roster and then be experts on the other 31 as well. So every single day is truly targeted at that.
And I imagine your phone has to be on you, because if anything happens in another camp, you know, you never know, you might get a phone call.
Yeah.
I mean, your phone's going to be blowing up just talking to other scouts and GMs, right?
Absolutely. And again, our pro staff does an awesome job of – because we're all – I'm communicating with the GMs, and they're communicating with scouts and agents in other areas. So that's a big part of it.
I want to follow up on that as well, because there was a moment I was jealous, and you were doing an interview with Andy and Randy leading up to the draft. I don't know if you remember this or not. All right, in the middle of this interview, your phone rings, and it was a GM.
Yeah.
And you showed Andy – you wouldn't tell it on the radio. You're like – you know who that is?
Has he shared that?
No. And I text him immediately. I was like, who was it? He was like, not telling, man. Not telling. Circle of trust. And look, hey, if your phone rings, just show it to me. Is all I'm saying, okay? If your phone rings at any point in this interview, just show it to me. But how often does that happen? Like, when would you say is the last time you spoke to another personnel person from another NFL team? Is it on a daily basis? Is it every few days? When's the last time you talked to, like, another NFL GM?
Yeah, not always on a daily basis. It was probably a couple days ago when I talked to another GM. But what will happen is, especially when we get into after the first preseason game, that's when things really ramp up. Right. That's when the conversations really accelerate. And, again, our pro staff does such a good job of making sure we know exactly what's going on in those other buildings. We know the players that we're looking at in those other buildings. We know what we anticipate so they can be productive conversations.
Yeah.
Well, and we are joined by Falcons General Manager Terry Fontenot right now on the morning shift. How much of your job is evaluating talent versus personality and locker room chemistry?
Yeah, it's all that. Like I said, we have a holistic approach. And when you have guys in this locker room, and I know, Mike, you'll appreciate this, and you have this locker room and you're looking at the Chris Lindstroms and Jake Matthews and Jesse Bates and Bijan, all these unbelievable people, I can keep going. What we have to do is we have to make sure we're adding to the culture. And it's not – we don't want to let those guys down and bring in somebody that doesn't fit that. Now it goes both ways. And they want to look next to a guy and say, okay, we can trust this guy. Mm-hmm. But also we got to be able to trust him to do his job and help us to be an effective football team. And so we have to make sure that we're bringing in the right guys. But then also, like I said, we have a holistic approach. And part of this is development. Sometimes it's helping people with life skills. Sometimes it's helping people on the field. But whatever it is, we have to help develop them and get them to where they need to be. But they have to have the right mindset.
The mindset's everything. I can imagine you're probably like, hey, James Pierce, like, what was that fight all about out there? Hey, man, I told everybody you were going to fit the culture. Why are you fighting people? No, man, and look, I was the same way as him when I got out here trying to make a name for myself as well. I want to kind of piggyback on her question, because one of the things we've talked about has been the defensive line group. Obviously, not just the edge guys that you drafted back in the spring, but also the interior. You lose a guy like Grady Jarrett. Eddie Goldman, who was very unique to what this team was trying to do last year, right? I mean, he was more of kind of that sound tree stump style nose guard I always talk about. But you have people to replace them not quite in the same style.
Yeah.
How do you manage that? When how often do you get in with a guy like Jeff Ulbrich and say, hey, okay, what are we looking for? You know what I mean? Obviously, we're looking for explosive guys, but are we looking for penetrating style? Are we looking for guys who can swim move? Or are we looking for guys who can hold the point? How do you kind of balance that? Because let's just call it what it is. You've seen a lot of defensive coordinators over the last 4 years in Atlanta, and you are trying to bring in guys that fit a lot of different systems.
No, you're right. And that's the critical factor. That's really step one. When Jeff Ulbrich gets in the building and Nate Olley and the other coaches get going, we have to sit down with them and go through what the prototype is for each position. What's the best fit? Bringing in a guy like Divine Diablo, if you look at Jeff Ulbrich's with Foye Olukuni, look at his history with linebackers. There's a lot of college safeties that have length and athleticism. There's a specific prototype, and Divine Diablo fit that prototype to a T in terms of the type of linebackers we want here moving forward. Now, with the Caden Ellis's and the J.D. Bertrands and the Troys, those guys still fit, and they can fit what we are, but still moving forward, do you know what your ideal is? The same thing is we had a lot of players here already with Brandon Dorlis and TQ Graham and Rook, and we have a lot of guys that are really athletic guys that can get off the ball and do a lot of the things that we want to do. So it's twofold. It's about looking at the players that you have right now, seeing how they fit, but what's that prototype moving forward? And it's been great having those conversations with Brick and Ollie and all the other coaches.
Awesome. Joined by Atlanta Falcons General Manager Terry Fontenot here on the morning shift. All right, just in that light, when you draft Jalen Walker, anybody in the first round really, but then you make a move to go back and get James Pierce, that there's expectations that come from outside the building. You know, what, for a general manager, what expectations do you have a player when you take that kind of move and that kind of risk? Because we know back in the day when they did it here for Thomas, did it for Julio. But also, how do you manage those expectations with the player?
Yeah, well, and honestly, Bo, we don't see it like as a risk. It's a calculated, it's a decision,
yeah,
right? And when we look at it, and using we use next year's first round pick this year to get a pressure player that we have a lot of faith in. And then we got back a third round pick that we got Xavier Watts in with. So we got these two big time pressure players out of college football, and then we got two ball hawks from college football. So when we look at the total picture of what we did and how we put it together, we feel really good about that. But we understand there's always an expectation that comes with everything, and that's why we keep talking about mindset. You have to have players with the same mindset too, because I can sit here and say that we ignore the noise and we don't listen to those things. We just focus on our process and what we're doing. But you have to have players that have that same mindset. And we know those guys that we brought in, they're wired the right way. They're focused on this building right here and doing everything they can do to be effective here. You're talking earlier about the fights, and there's some stuff going on a couple days ago. And, man, you have these really competitive groups that are doing whatever they can do to go out there and battle. And I know a couple coaches have said it. We got to go to that line and not cross that line. You'd rather have guys you got to pull back than guys you got to push. You know, so we'd rather have that. And so we know we'll manage it the right way and make sure we're doing things the right way and protecting our team in those ways. But we love that we have guys that are that passionate and that competitive.
Well, to that light, I mean, I've gotten to spend, you know, good for what I do around the team. And I'm around Bajan and Drake, and then even the little bit of time around Penix. It's like they're all the same in a lot of ways. They're all, I mean, the way they interact. They just – I don't know how – and you got them all at 8, which is crazy. Yeah. I don't know how that works. So I guess you guys – and Jalen Walker from – I don't know a ton about James Pierce. I'm still learning, like I think most of our families. But Jalen Walker to him is almost seems like he's cut from that exact same mold that Penix, Drake, Bajan are.
Yeah, there's a rare consistency to all those players you're talking about. There's a rare maturity to those players as well. You know exactly what you're getting on a day-to-day basis. And there are some players you bring in that you got to help in areas with life skills, with different things. But with those guys, there is very unique with how mature and consistent they are in everything they do.
Yeah. Finishing up here with Terry Fontenot, Falcons general manager. Just one more thing before we let you go. It's interesting talking to you and how little drama it kind of feels like there is out here, because it is holdout season around the NFL. Yep. And we sit here and talk about Terry McLaurin and Micah Parsons, and we don't have that situation right now. But how much do you kind of keep your ear to the ground or your eyes peeled? Because you do probably have some extensions coming up when you talk about the Drake Londons, even looking further, you know, the Matthew Bergerons, Bijan Robinsons. How do you kind of keep that, you know, that wind in your sails of like, okay, I know this is coming, and how do you decide to plan for that and kind of see what the NFL landscape is like on that front?
Yep. It's a regular ongoing basis. We study every contract that comes in, and we're always forecasting and looking at how our players specifically are going to fit into that. And so we're always looking, because, you know, when you make a decision to extend a player, you have to look at all the effects, how it affects everybody else on the roster, how it's going to affect you in the coming seasons. And we're very transparent with our players and with our agents. Like you said, we have some guys that are really, really good people that fit what we're about, fit our ethos, and they're really good players on the field. So you want to get things done, but we're very transparent with them in the right ways. And so you know that when we really build this thing the right way, it's going to be a norm. You're going to lose some players. Yep. That's just the fact of it, because that's going to be a good problem to have, that we have so many good players that you can't fit them all underneath. But we're honest with players that, hey, you come here, it's our job to give you everything we have and pour into you, and it's your job to go out there and give everything you have so you can be the best you can, and you're either going to make a lot of money here or somewhere else. But that is an ongoing thing, and it does say a lot about the unselfishness of our players, that they're just out there competing, getting ready to play Tampa on 9/7.
There he is, Terry Fontenot, joined by the morning shift. That's, of course, is Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan, and Allie in the mornings. Guys, make sure you check him out. Good stuff there from our general manager. Look, there is a lot on his plate. There's no debating that. Mm. My question is, has he found and figured out what this roster needs to look like to take us to the next level?
Well, we feel a lot like, you know, that 2016 connection, a little bit of veterans. You know, I mean, if you want to say Leonard Floyd could be our Dwight Freeney, right? And you say you've got a – hopefully we've nailed it with the draft the way we nailed it in 16. Give Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn credit, because we had three starters on that defense, man. Debo. His name is Debo.
Oh, that's right.
And, of course, we had, you know, two other guys, and that you had Devondre Campbell and who am I forgetting? And who am I forgetting? Linebacker. No, safety.
Who?
Keanu Neal. That's right. Sorry. Thanks, Orrin, for the save. But yeah, man, those guys all contributed. And Poole was an undrafted free agent who was a big part of nickel and blitzes as well. So there was a bunch of guys, three rookies, were starters and had an impact. Can we have that kind of stuff in the rotation this year? I think we can.
By the way, speaking of the 16 team, saw Mohamed Sanu today. Sanu, what's going on, man? It was good to see you. Good to he walked by me, Mike. I was like, damn, that dude looks like Mohamed Sanu. I said, Sanu. He's like, yeah, what's going on? Looks good. Looks like he can still play. A little bit of beard, though. Got the beard.
You and I had to laugh because remember back in the day in 16 at camp, Sanu, what's it going to look like a receiver? Can't stop me. I'm too big, too fast, too physical. Okay? Don't yell at me, man. I'm right here.
Yeah, man. Lots of Falcon great showing up, and it's good to see him at camp. All right, coming up, speaking of Leonard Floyd, who did he say talks a lot of crap at practice? You won't believe this. Stay there. It's on the way on Dukes and Bell.